Warning, the following podcast contains coarse language and spoilers for the film and the title of the podcast.
Now playing movie reviews in 20 Qs.
Movie reviews, fuck yeah. Here to review a motherfucking movie. Yes, hello good people and welcome to the podcast. Movie reviews in 20 Qs, the show where we review a movie by asking 20 weird and wonderful questions about it. I'm your host Sam and I am joined this week by three other people. First of which is Kahu. Fuck yeah. How are you going, Kahu?
Woo. I'm well. Good to be here. Four-player game. I like it.
Top quality podcasting. The next is Dory. How are you going, Dory?
Also, glad to be here. I think I actually had to force my way onto the panel, so it'll be worth it. You won't regret it.
Went from a threesome to an orgy. Yeah.
Yeah.
And finally, a dude who has seen a guy eat his own head. It's Muchu.
Yeah, not bad. Looking forward to this one. It's one of the old faves.
Yeah, I mean, we've been talking about this for fucking ages.
I thought we'd done it.
So did I. It's similar to Robocop. It's like we keep talking about doing Robocop. We never fucking do Robocop.
I swear we've done Robocop.
So the movie we are doing is Team America, as you guys can see in the name of the podcast. This movie has a score of 7.2 out of 10 on IMDb. It has a score of 77% on Rotten Tomatoes. Directed by Trey Parker, based on a screenplay by Dre Parker, Matt Stone, and Pam Brady of South Park fame. Had a budget of $30 million and came out in 2004. And we've got a new rule, whoever was the last to show up to record tonight, so this is never going to fucking be me, what a fucking asshole, has to do the plot and go.
Well, seeing I finished watching it about 3 hours ago, it was probably going to be me anyway. Yeah, so Team America, World Police, have come back from a disastrous mission in Paris, and they need to find... terrorist organization who has all the WMDs, and to do this, for some strange reason, they hire a Broadway actor, and it goes from there.
Yeah, that'll do. Yeah. Close enough. So if you haven't heard this podcast before, what we do is we review a movie by asking 20 questions about it. We usually start with 10 that can be applied to any film, and then move through three personal questions each while we talk about this film. But because there's four of us, we're going to do three personal questions each for a total of 8. No, 12. Maths is fucking gone.
4 times 3 is 18.
4 times 3 is 12.
Yeah. 9-11 times 10 is
9,100.
Nobody knows. So we're going to do three personal questions each, and then 8 that can be applied to any film. The one we start with, compliment sandwich, if we liked it. Shit sandwich if we didn't. Lead us off, Kahu. What do you got?
First thing is a good thing, and it is that this is the Thunderbirds that we didn't know we needed. And I remember back to the time when it came out, because I did actually see it at the movies when it came out.
Holy shit, a movie you've actually seen.
Yeah.
You were very quiet when we were talking about this. I was like, he hasn't seen it. I can tell he hasn't seen it.
No, I hadn't.
Who did you see it with?
Hadn't rewatched it since that time. I was Sarah, actually.
Oh, yeah. And nice date that one would have been.
Yeah. You should have seen the aftermath.
How fun was watching the sex scene with her?
Yeah, we haven't done that one. Have you used puppets yet?
didn't really know anything about it beforehand. And, it was interesting. I wasn't a massive South Park fan at the time either, so
right.
I didn't really know much of those two fellas' work. Bad, and we'll get into this a bit further later on, but man, the Weinstein-esque recruitment kind of falls pretty flat now.
Like, there's a lot of stuff that falls pretty flat. Yeah.
So moving on to my second good thing, I just love the little guides in this film of America being the center of the world. Like when they're talking about Paris and Cairo and saying how far it is away from America. Yeah. Just like, these are just like all in the periphery. They don't really matter unless they're a proximity away from America. So.
4,000 miles east of America. Yeah.
Yeah. I love that. It was cool. Yeah. I really enjoy this. There's some genuine, just funny moments, like down to the little parts where they just linger a little bit on the character's eyes, and they're just kind of weirdly not really doing anything to try and show emotion. So I've kind of shoehorned another good thing in there. But I'm going to go with...
Have you got anything left? I don't have anything left.
it's out of WMDs. How many WMDs?
Yeah, how many thought WMDs? It would be. Let's go 8,300 WMDs.
Wow, that's a lot.
That's a really high score.
Dory, did you hear they gave like... Barbie 8,000 as well.
Shut up.
Did they?
Yeah. Oh, listen to that one.
Hey, this film stood the test of time. Yeah. We'll see when we're on to episode.
This is a much better doll film, in my opinion.
In 20 years' time, we'll see how we go when we review Barbie.
It'll be Barbie 10 by then.
We did, to be honest, we did drink a lot in that Barbie film.
Yeah, that's true.
Are you ready for mine?
I'm fucking ready.
You're looking at me really awkwardly. I'm ready to go. Compliment sandwich. It is a compliment sandwich. My first point, and it kind of shoehorns off what Kahu just said, is for a film made by Americans, about Americans, the self-awareness of like how stupid and how poorly America is received by a lot of other people around the world, it's quite genius. Like... Especially where this would have been designed to target the American market. You know, it's one thing for us as people not from America to sort of laugh at it, but to get your own people to laugh at it and sort of pick up how ignorant. Is that the right word?
Well, at the time it would have been right in the middle of the Iraq war as
well. Yeah. There's a lot of global turmoil.
I'm there with you. That was actually one of my good things. What I like about this is it doesn't pull any punches like on only one side of the aisle. You know what I mean? It's very left wing, takes piss out of left wings, takes the piss out of right wing. Very good satire, very self-aware. I'm with you, man.
It seems to be their sort of MO is just to like be broadly offensive.
Yeah, just shit on everyone.
I think as long as you shit on everyone, you're not actually sort of singling anyone out.
Yeah.
You are in the moment, but then you just quickly move on to the next person that you're shitting on.
It's like how, you know, you can't be racist if you hate everyone equally.
And that's pretty much the game they play, right?
Exactly.
The bad thing about this is they weren't brave enough to do a sequel. I thought, like, you know, going through these questions, I thought, how would, you know, remaking this now as like a late sequel?
Yeah.
A Top Gun 2 type sort of style. It would be so hard to land, but I'd love to see them try.
From what I heard, like, Trey Parker, it destroyed him. Like, making this just absolutely destroyed him. Like filming all the scenes and all that sort of shit. Like, he was talking about the opening fight scene between the grey-haired guy and the terrorist when their guns jammed. And he was saying about how he put all this fucking time and effort into trying to make it look really fucking cool. And then the first screening of it, everyone in the audience was pissing themselves laughing. And he was like, fuck you! And just walked out. He was like, you know how fucking much effort that was?
You said it cost, what, $30 million to make?
Yeah.
What'd they gross? Like, what'd they get out of it?
Oh, shit. Fucking be a...
Because you're saying, like, it broke him and he, like, but if... He can cry his fucking 99 karat gold tears into his fucking pillow, I reckon.
I reckon it's probably still a solid streamer, though, nowadays.
A gross total of 50 million. What? 32 million domestically, 50 million. But I reckon you're right. DVD sales and, you know, like rewatching now, fuck, it's,
it's an instant classic, right?
Oh, 100%, yeah.
You also just touched on my last good thing. It is just embracing the shitness of the medium that they used. Like, puppets are obviously difficult to sort of get the action scenes right, and like some of the awkward sort of like the emotion scenes, like Kahu was talking about, like to actually use that as like, how many times did you just laugh at how awkward it is? Like so fucking awkward.
I think it was best summed up when in your question later on about the lie to get that girl to sleep with him. And he goes like they focus on his eyes as if he's been like real convincing, and then he just goes, "No, I won't die.
I promise I'll never die."
That's just delivered perfectly.
But even like the shitness after it, when he's like lying there and he's trying to tell her all this stuff, and she's like, "Shh," and trying to shush his mouth, and his like fingers going in his eye, and fucking up his liver.
They deliberately make them uncoordinated, right?
Yeah.
They've made them worse than they could have. Like, and that's so good.
I wonder if they started off trying to do it really well with the puppets, and they went, this just isn't working, let's just like make it as shit-looking as possible.
That's what you were just getting at, isn't it? Like, he tried so hard to get it to look all right, and then it was just like, nah, let's roll with it.
Yeah, let's just fucking roll with it.
This looks fucking terrible. Let's make it look like we just stuck pubes to his face.
I give it maybe 7,100 WMDs.
It's pretty positive.
I feel like they're lowballing here.
It's we like really should have got.
You can hide family.
Is it too late to get Liz on this?
Yeah, so I think you guys are lowballing this, and you pretty much also said my good things as well. So, yeah, like I can't imagine a film where they went, this is gonna work. We're gonna go puppets. We're gonna bring in all these actors. And it does. I reckon they nail it. I reckon it's the plot is perfect. So that's my first good thing. My second great thing is I reckon I love Trey Parker, Matt Stone's work, and I reckon this is their absolute masterpiece for me.
The piece de la resistance.
Yeah, South Park, massive South Park fan, but this beats South Park. Man, I'm still, every time I meet an American, I'm like, America.
America.
They would say the A, I just dropped this thing. This fucking America.
Have you been to see Book of Mormon?
Yeah. I've been to see Book of Mormon. That's pretty fucking good. I've seen the movie with Orgasmo.
Yeah, bro. Oh, don't spoil my answer
later. Yeah, but that's an absolute classic, but this is the best of the best. And it's fucking stupid. How do you get people to go see a movie about puppets? I guess that was a little bit difficult because the box office sales weren't that great. But shit, that was one of my favorites.
Yeah.
And yeah, that, I guess what's my last good thing is puppet sex. Who would have thought? Who would have thought that'd be interesting, eh? Like, holy shit, they don't even have the parts, but shit.
Listeners, if you want to hear our thoughts on puppet sex, go over to the Countdown podcast where me and Machu guested and did the top 10 sex scenes in movies, in which Machu was like, we need to have fucking Team America in there. I'm not going to go to the fucking podcast, bro.
If you guys are listening, fucking oats. This is the best puppets.
Well, does it set a record for like the most amount of positions in one sex scene out of any like normal movie?
Potentially.
Like normally you get one or two, right?
Yeah.
But like that one, there must be a dozen.
At least, pole driver, girl on top, reverse cowgirl.
What are the offtakes like, eh? They should have just had that.
So I don't know if this is true, but apparently what they did was they actually filmed a sex scene for it, and then they put it in, and then they were trying to get like rather than getting NC-17 or whatever, they wanted R rating. And I think the cut came back and they basically said, there's too much puppet sex in this. So they were like, okay. So they went out and filmed another 3 minutes that they had to the movie. And I don't know if it fucking made it in or not, but I think they'd like trolled them. But in the extended uncut version, there's like golden showers and shit like that. There's like a lot of stuff.
I've seen that at the movies.
Yeah. There was stuff that was like, didn't make. Fucking nuts.
I think it'd take a lot of confidence to do the handstand.
Anyway, I give this 12,000 WMDs.
Whoa, hyperbole sandwich!
Hyperbole.
I'm glad someone motherfuckers. Did. I'm glad someone did. Yeah, onto me. Yeah, I mean, we've mentioned a couple of my good things. The other thing, it's quotable. This fuck is quotable. There's shit that's like, I still say today, like, Jesus titty fucking Christ. I don't know why, but the number of times I say that, it's almost like a dog whistle to see like, oh, who else out there has actually seen this movie where they hear me go, Jesus titty fucking. Most people are like, how rude.
There's a few problems with that statement.
Yeah, there's a lot of problems with that statement. Yeah, I like that. And then, yeah, like the funny songs as well. And then my bad thing was when the jokes don't work, they really don't work. They kind of fall flat. You know, there's a couple of ones that you're like, oh, okay. Like, you know, they're going for it and all that sort of shit and good on them. But my score, still positive, still 8,112. Still enjoy it. Anywho, question two. Patreon question comes courtesy of our mate, Chris Yeeney.
Thanks, Chris. What on-the-nose song would you drop into this movie and where?
Dude, it's pretty hard to actually outdo the songs that are already in there. They're classics. Struggling. Like, how would you put a regular song into this movie? That would be hard. So I straight away went for like sort of something comedic. But I thought maybe during the sex scene you could put Fuck Her Gently by Tenacious D.
Oh, that's good. That's good.
You know what I mean? Like, just something. It would fit theme-wise anyway.
Yeah.
That's good. That's really good.
Yeah, my one was shit. I had
well, that's the idea. You've got to go for as shit as possible.
my one was shit. It was when instead of Kim Jong Il singing "I'm Lonely," he would sing "I'm an Asshole." And then set the scene.
You know that is bad.
By Dennis Leary.
Or is he a dick?
Yeah. Hey, he's an asshole. They're the dicks.
Yeah, my one is just as terrible. You know, when he's in the back of the truck and he's making all the fucking hand signals and all this other shit. He's like, kiss me, kiss me. I would have had, walk like an Egyptian.
Oh, no.
That would have been good.
Yeah. I had when, what's his name? Gary was like walking through to the palace in like the final scene. I thought the King of Pride rock song from The Lion King when he's walking in. You know, when they raise Simba and it's like, oh. But actually, I thought that wasn't on the nose enough. So just classic, I need a hero as he's walking in.
Oh, yeah.
I need a hero. Yeah. Yeah, that works. Cool. Question number three, Dory.
Question number three. What is the biggest dick move in this film?
Puppet sex? No, I think
blowjob. Come on, bro.
Yeah, it's the blowjob. It's got to be.
It was the absence of dick move.
Yeah. A lot of wood moving. It's got to be Spotswood asking for a blowjob so that he can so Gary can go help his mates. Let's get one in there.
That makes sense. My one was Mockamore just rolling into the building and blowing it up.
Yeah.
I was like, what the fuck are you doing?
That's pretty anti-productive, wasn't it?
It was. It was pretty dick movie, yeah.
Is he? He's a fucking dick, eh? Michael Moore. Just, who cares about it? Let them have guns. Oh, my God.
I had Spotswood as well. Giving Gary a hammer to kill himself. So, I'd forgotten all about that.
That was going to be one of my questions.
Going to give him a pill or something. Nope.
Gary, so,
and it kind of looked clearly like that hammer had been used
might
before.
Have to end your life. If so, here you go.
Ouch. Ow. It's taken ages.
That God was one damn it. That got me as well. Like, I completely forgot that.
Yeah, I completely forgot
it. It was one of my
went, yeah.
Like, it got me.
It's brilliant.
That was actually going to be one of my questions, is like, what would have been a worse weapon to have tried to take your own life with than a hammer?
I've got a bit legit here. Like, old Sarah confesses that she's got a bit of a crush on Gary, and Lisa's just carved through one fucking partner.
Gets in there.
And
hey.
Just, like, within minutes of her telling her that she's got a crush on this dude, she just like absolutely cuts her lunch and fucking slams the shit out of him.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what they say, blondes have more fun.
Yeah, well, you know.
And it's within, what, weeks of her having her partner mowed down in front of her? Like, she's not grieving at all. She's just like, Top Gun actor.
Like, I mean, we've got bros before hoes. What does the matriarchy have? Like, what's...
Sisters before misters?
Let's roll with that. Like, that. Sisters before misters. Come on, sort it out.
Yeah. That character was really annoying too, telling everybody what they were feeling.
Oh, I love that bit after they explain him. I sense he's confused right now. It's like,
I sense I'm gonna crash. She's been shot down.
Yeah.
All right. Question number four. Realistically, at what point should the main character have died?
I mean, there's 100 obvious ones that you guys are probably going to jump on, so I'm going to go for the part where he's in the back alley and he vomits up maybe 16,000 litres of vomit.
Yeah.
This is so good.
Dehydration slash exposure. I don't know what you're fucking going to call it, but he's dead. Get out of the street, you bum! Gave up on life, didn't you?
As he's going up to that pub in Cairo, He's clearly wearing a towel around his head.
And like a biker jacket.
Like, let alone the, you know.
The bum fluff on his face.
The botched surgery, yeah.
I went for the spewing scene as well. Like, there's way an 80-kilo average person can spew out 600 litres of vomit. Like, there's no way you can live from that. Like,
no.
I'm surprised he didn't add a little bit of blood to the scene. Like, it was graphic enough as it was. Like, why not chuck a bit of blood in there? Like,
exactly. Man. Yeah.
When I saw that at the movies, like, I was just laughing hard for about 10 minutes afterwards. It was just like the start and the stop and the start again.
Just when you think he's done every time, mate.
As soon as you think he's finished.
Spittle. It's just like.
then he goes a little bit wild, then it gets wilder.
Not the worst thing he gets in the stomach in the movie, which is quite surprising.
Yeah, I had the spewing scene as well. But how cool would it
really?
Be? How cool would it have been if he had died straight after having sex? I will never die.
Promise I will never die.
Promise I will never die. Ah, and then die.
That's the best promise, though, because You never have to justify why you broke
it. You can't be held
to it. Yeah. Exactly. There's no repercussions. Question number 5, what quote from this film would be the worst to hear immediately after having sex? I think we can all agree that 99% of the script kind of qualifies for this.
What do I choose from here? Everyone has AIDS. Yeah. Don't want to be hearing that, mate.
That's a good one.
That's pretty good.
That's pretty good.
I've got, now suck my cock.
Yes. Wow, this is a nice car. It is. Now suck my cock.
Your cock? Mom, I've done it again.
I've got that answer for about 6 different answers in this podcast, but so I'm going to go with something else. I said, hey, terrorist, terrorize this.
That's not bad. I don't know much in this crazy, crazy world, but I do know if you don't let us fuck this asshole, then we are going to have our dicks and our pussies all covered in shit. Yeah, I don't want to hear that. Question number 6.
What characters best represent the other podcasters?
I've got Kahu as
Hans Bridge.
Really?
Kahu's really nice and sort of like, you know, you would expect him to sort of be trying to find some sort of peaceful like resolution.
Yeah.
But I could see that as being him just waltzing into trouble, like Hans Bridge.
Yeah. Just dropping into a shark tank.
Was a fun one. Like,
he was a good one, right? Yeah.
There was lots of options. But I just remember playing old Kim Jong.
Oh, like, yes.
You know, the dictator. Like, I could see Machu sort of running a palace. Running
Napoleon syndrome.
I've also got Machu as Kim Jong-il. I reckon it's just because he's a misunderstood and lonely guy. But really inside is a giant cockroach.
Yeah. I thought it was because he was short and he's got a giant head.
Well, that is about, I mean, we could keep going. Like, we could
that's
do this
why,
for a couple
that's
of
why
hours.
I had myself as Kim Jong-il. I just don't have glasses.
Sam, I've got you as Joe.
Yes.
He's part of Team America and he's the one that's in love with Sarah.
Yeah.
And we'll never tell her.
Awkward jock.
Just tell us.
Okay.
Should I be reading more into this?
Yes. Yeah. It's okay, you can tell us. Stacey won't listen.
I know that.
So yeah, I had Sam as Spotswood for sure. He's fucking Spotswood. He fucking does fuck all.
Yes.
Say this all the time. Always wants his dick sucked.
Yes. True. Correct.
And Kahu, I had you as Alec Baldwin.
I'm getting all the good characters.
Yeah. I'm wondering when this is going to take an Alec Baldwin.
Eric Baldwin.
Alec Baldwin.
And I just wanted to put this in. I just like this. Matt Damon, Dory.
Yeah. Someone had to get it, and I'll take it.
And yeah, Kim Jong for myself. Short and big head.
Yeah, so we've already done Machu. Kahu, I had you as Carson.
Interesting.
Most people are going,
"It's Gary, right?"
No, he's not. He's instantly forgettable, just like.
Oh wait, who's the driver?
No, Carson's the guy that proposes to Lisa at the start of the movie. I was like, Kahu, he's like this quite nice guy, but no real awareness of what's going on around him.
That's fair. Although, that driver, Baxter, is doing like these weird eyes right at the beginning.
That was my answer for you, was Baxter, because you don't really know what's going on there. Like, is it a female that is with a mustache?
Like there's something else kind of going on there, and then nothing happens about it.
Yeah, that would have been a good
Baxter
answer.
Baxter has a sex dungeon for sure, right?
100%. And then, Dory, I was struggling on who to assign you. But one of the terrorists in this blows prematurely. It's so I was like, that's probably Dory.
100%.
Yep.
Well, I think we're unanimous in that Machu's Kim Jong-il.
By miles, eh?
So good.
I'm self-aware.
And actually, I did have myself as Carson as well. I thought I'd
the self-awareness.
Yeah.
They're so self-aware.
thought I'd be the martyr.
I love how I was like, what characters best represent the other podcast? You're like, no, I want to shit on myself too. You're definitely a Carson.
Yeah. Carson or Hans Brook?
Sam,
I've got you as Chris. There's like this undiagnosed trauma in the background there. And Dory, you're going to be Gary Johnston.
Yes.
Gary. I'll take that.
Gary's a fucking good one.
Too. Yeah. In the mouth.
Yeah, that does make a lot of sense.
He'd do anything for freedom.
Yeah. He's 100%.
Dory is always trying to play gay chicken at work. That's right. I did have him with Gary. But then there was a guy that blew prematurely. That's right. That was going to be my turn.
I win gay chicken against most people at work.
You do.
But not everyone.
No.
There's a couple of people that freak me the fuck out.
Question number seven.
Question number seven. What's the biggest load of bullshit in this movie? Machu. I mean, there's a few to choose from.
Where do you start?
Right? The entire film. It's like the quote after sex. It's like you just fucking pick a spot.
I think the fight's the biggest load of bullshit. That's just so funny, though. It's like, it's like two guys just, nah.
Even if you get caught up in the plot of this movie, as soon as they start fighting, you just get snapped out of it to be like, what the fuck is
this? Yeah, what am I watching?
Every now and then. The first one, or like the Matrix one that's kind of towards the end.
Yeah, the first one.
Oh, yeah.
The first one. Yeah,
he throws down his gun. And they get
Every now and then you see fucked up shit as well, like nail clippers for belt buckles and shit like that. And you're like, what the fuck is going on? Well, who did the set? Are they just built this at home? We built it for like $30 million, but it's $200 or something. Yeah, they did it in the bathroom.
The best $29 million is on cocaine.
Creative accounting. Yeah.
I think the biggest load of bullshit is the budget was $30 million. I reckon it's about $1,000.
They got a few solar panel grants.
The green load, eh? 1%. Kind of was $30
million. The best
they couldn't get Matt Damon on the piss enough. They was like, Matt Damon.
There are a lot of scenes where they actually use real environments, like the montage with Gary on the motorcycle. He's on like an actual road, and he's the size of like the curb.
Yeah, like when he goes and leans on the tombstone.
Looking up at Abe Lincoln and shit. Yeah, it was hilarious. The one for me was when old mate rolls into the Mos Eisley Cantina. Let's just call it that, because it's obviously a piss take of the fucking thing. He's like, Gary. And then, fuck, I don't know, 50 terrorists all shoot at her, but she's got one Gatling gun. Mows down all of them, not a scratch. Gary? What the fuck?
I had a earlier in that same sequence when Gary arrives in his disguise, like in this big bazaar, in the helicopter, surrounded by all the Team America people. And nobody passes it on ahead that he's with them.
Yeah,
exactly. 100%.
My one, I've got Michael Moore being able to climb up to the top of Mount Rushmore.
Fully strapped.
Like fully strapped with dynamite. Like, I reckon Michael Moore couldn't make it up a fucking escalator.
The elevator couldn't take him to floor 3, eh?
Scaling Mount Rushmore with explosives.
The best thing about when he blows himself up is that he blows himself up, but then it's like a beat later when his body explodes. He's just like on fire for a half a second and then he explodes.
Is there anyone they like?
Nah, bro. Shit on everyone. The funniest part was like George Clooney actually voiced a character in South Park and helped them get the South Park movie made. And even in this, they take the piss out of George Clooney. They're like, fuck you.
I wanted to actually sort of do this question. I didn't do it, but just side note. Like,
yeah.
How do you think these guys target people? Do you think, because I was thinking exactly what you just said, maybe they like invite people to guest on, and if you reject them because they're like, nah, fuck those cunts, are from South Park, I'm not going on that, that's when you get lined up.
Like, it's a good question.
Because they do target a lot of people, but like specific people.
Yeah. I think they just take swings at like whoever's the most popular at the time.
Alec Baldwin was not relevant when this came out.
Nah, exactly. Like, 2003 wasn't exactly... Nah. He's the best actor in the world.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, that's a joke. We're all like, no, he's fucking not.
Matt Damon was more at the top of his powers, but Alec Baldwin was not.
I saw an interview where they talked about the Matt Damon one, and they said that when the Matt Damon doll came out of the kiln, they were like, well, that kind of looks fucking stupid. Let's just make him really fucking stupid. And that's what they did. Yeah.
That's the one-liner I use all the time. Like, let's go see this movie.
Matt Damon.
He's on Mars, and he's the scientist, and all he can think is, Matt Damon. Coming up with his clever ways to survive. Nah, bro. Matt Damon.
Let's move into our personal questions. Machu, what you got?
So during the film, Gary shows that he's 100% committed to the cause of freedom by sucking off Spotswood. So what's a more extreme way? What's a more extreme way Gary could have shown his 100% commitment?
It's like you're asking for sex tips or something.
I was going to go, what's a less extreme way? But I thought, nah, let's wrap it up.
I don't know why you want to imagine in more extreme ways for two guys to show their commitment.
It's up to your imagination. If that's where it goes, who will know?
Yeah, true. I just wrote everything in the puppet scene. If you'd done everything in the puppet scene with Spotswood.
That would have been so good. I could have just repeated the whole thing.
That would have been fucking funny, actually. That would have been fucking funny. That just had
I love that. That is hilarious.
Rather than it being like sunrise or sunset or whatever, it's just suddenly the fucking middle of the day and they're just doing the exact same again.
I'm the top of Mount Rushmore. Yeah. All the tourists.
Excellent answer.
I don't know, like maybe just actually doing a one-way mission to get rid of Kim Jong-il. Like he's just like, he's got a Michael Moore setup strapped to his chest.
And hey, Jim Dong-il!
I need you to show you're committed, Gary. You're not coming back from this one.
Yeah, they'd be pretty fucking ruthless.
Why not, when they do his full transformation, why not just do a full fucking transformation? Like, they made him look like he's from the Middle East. Why not make him a Middle Eastern woman? Yeah, like, yeah. If you go this far to completely reconfigure your face, you may as well just reconfigure your whole body and go transgender. That would be ultimate commitment.
I was thinking that he maybe might not have been able to get into that pub, though.
Yeah, he wouldn't have been able to go.
Oh, yeah, there was a dancer.
There was a dancer in there.
There was dancers.
Yeah.
Anyway.
All right, so my last question is this the best ever puppet film? I think it is. But what do you guys think?
I think for purely puppet movies, it's up there. It's probably
The best, number one.
Yeah, no, I mean, like, champion. For purely because when I googled this, Return of the Jedi popped up as a puppet movie, and I was like, wow, I do love Return of the Jedi.
So where does this rank? So top 10, top
no,
five,
easily top,
top
five. Fucking love this top film. Five. It's amazing. One of the Muppet movies was really good.
It was Muppet Treasure Island.
Yeah, one of them was really
Muppet
good.
Muppet Treasure Island.
Yeah. You guys are fucking Muppets.
Okay, Mr. High Beverly Sam.
Yeah.
Oh, I love fucking Space Jam, A New Legacy. Fuck. No one take this dickhead seriously.
I never said it was a good film. I've just watched it a million times.
I'm not true. I've only seen it seven times. Yeah. I mean, a lot of puppet movies are kind of a mix of puppetry and live action. So,
So was this?
This one.
We saw him outside in the real world.
Well, yeah, but he's still a puppet.
Yeah, I suppose. Yeah. There's no humanist carrier.
Yeah, it's right up there, I think. Labyrinth is the other one that springs to mind.
You just like David Bowie in a codpiece, don't you?
Yeah, I do like a bit of David Bowie.
David Bowie's in this movie. Isn't he the driver
that we were just talking about? Yeah, I feel like Baxter. He is, yeah.
Baxter. So ambiguous whether it's a man or a woman, eh?
Yeah.
It is the best. It's the best puppet movie. What are other ones that we brought up? Child's Play.
Yeah,
Chucky.
Child's Play.
Chucky's pretty scary. And
Gremlins.
Gremlins. Yeah, for sure.
Gremlins. Yes, Gremlins.
Gremlins pretty iconic.
Yeah, that was. I mean,
one for me though.
I'm sure it hasn't aged well, but when I was six, it was really scary.
It was fucking terrifying.
Yeah.
I'd love to rewatch it.
Fun too. Gizmo. Spike.
Great Christmas movie.
Cool.
What are we up to?
At the start of the film, Gary bangs out his legendary song, Everyone Has AIDS, during their musical. So what smash musical hit do you think he could follow up Everyone Has AIDS with?
Well, after a massive hit, they typically have the Christmas special, right? And so I had chlamydia for Christmas.
Oh. Yeah, it's good. It's good.
Oh, I've got chlamydia for Christmas.
All I want is antibiotics.
No. My one's an a cappella solo. All my friends are dead.
Yeah. My friends are dead.
It would be solo.
Jesus.
Yeah, definitely solo.
Kahu's gone morbid.
See, I just took it as like, you know, what, you know, you're just blatantly trying to offend people and sort of what's subject matter of the time. And I think if you did it now, you'd probably go like, that chick's got a prick.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Something.
Check the box before you tick the box.
Yeah. You know, you'd go somewhere along there. I'm sure they'd come up with something that would offend almost everyone.
They'd try for something, right? They'd try something that would piss off everyone, right?
Yeah.
Such a catchy song. Everyone has AIDS.
The Pope has got it, and so do you.
Everyone has all about
my dog Blue.
Yeah, the last one, eh, where he's like a little bit out of time.
A little bit out of time. Everyone.
The crowd's all like into it.
So fucking weird.
Next up.
Yeah, next up, Kahu.
Yo, Dory, so why don't you trust actors?
I don't trust actors because they're always trying to push some fucking agenda on me and they're in their like high privileged place in society and want you to do everything.
I saw a great meme recently where it was like, are you afraid to ask out that girl? Just remember that the Oprah Winfrey, a billionaire, and The Rock, a multimillionaire, went on the news and asked you to donate to people in Hawaii that need money.
Yeah. here's the answer.
Yeah. What the fuck?
And the other thing is, like, maybe if they were sitting up on their high place giving you this advice of how to make the world a better place, if they were happy, you'd be like, yeah, sweet. Mm. But they're notoriously fucking unhappy people.
Yeah.
They're really keen to tell you how to live your life. Yeah. Fuck off, actors.
When they're on drugs half the time, mate, there's all these well known people dying of drugs young. You're like, I don't listen to drug dealers. I feel like
Machu, why did you do that?
Amber Heard told me to do it.
Apparently, shitting in beds is all good.
Amber Heard was my example. Like I watched recently some of that Netflix documentary or whatever. You know, Heard versus Depp. And, like, some of the people on there are like, oh, I'm Team Amber. And the other people are like, oh, I'm Team Deb. They're both pieces of shit.
Yeah.
They're, like, exactly, both fucking idiots.
Yeah.
They're both fucking morons. My other answer was, like, the reason why I don't trust them is one time when I was, like, young, I was at a zoo, right? And I was at the zoo.
You had blueberries in your pocket.
No. I saw this kid acting, and he fell into a gorilla enclosure. And his brother jumped in there. His brother had blueberries in his pocket. And these gorillas were fucking throwing this dude around, like fucking tossing him around, tossing him everywhere. And I was like, what the fuck? Like, this is actors. This traumatized me, bro. Fucking traumatized me.
There's a few piece of shit actors out there, like Ferris Bueller. What's his name?
Oh, Matthew Broderick. Yeah, he fucking killed a person.
Yeah, bro. he got away with it.
Yeah, got away with it.
Alec Baldwin. Dude off the 70s show.
Yeah.
Dude off the, they're like,
James Franco. They're all getting called out these days.
James Corden, is he an actor? Yeah. I mean, he was in Cats.
Yeah.
He hasn't done anything like massively offensive, but fuck, he's a loser.
For the record, Cats is a shit musical.
For the record.
We're going to do Cats now. You know that, eh? You know you've thrown that out there.
Is there an actor that you would trust? Will Smith, maybe?
Yeah. It's got to be an actor.
Keep Will's name out of your fucking mouth.
It's got to be an actor that does good things, but like, don't make a big song and dance about it.
Keanu Reeves. Everyone loves Keanu Reeves, and I don't blame him. He's awesome.
Is he an actor, though?
Is he a dude that stumbled onto set and got paid lots of money to read lines off a massive clipboard?
Villain 10A. They're like, fuck, just get that guy there. He looks all right.
Whoa,
dude.
Oh, man.
20 years later through The Matrix, like, whoa, dude.
Whoa.
My next question. So 20 years on from this film, who represents the Film Actors Guild now?
It's funny because I actually had Will Smith written down.
Jada Smith.
But we know where the real power is. It's Jada Pickens, who's recently come out to say that they've been divorced since 2016.
Yeah.
Not legally divorced, but they've been split and living in different houses and shit like that. And she got really confused when he said, take my wife's name out of your mouth, because she's like, I'm not his wife.
What the fuck is going on here? Even more issues than...
The two things I read is she wants Will and Chris Rock to get to... back to being friends, and also that Chris Rock asked her out one time.
He found out she was getting divorced, and Ringer was like,
that's a little bit weird, but I hope my husband and he, those guys get on now. Oh, yeah, because that's going to help them get on.
What is this shit, eh?
They
wonder why we don't fucking trust them. What the fuck?
That's awesome. Good answer, Will Smith.
Tom Cruise.
Oh, yeah, true.
He's off to the side, though, right? He's not like...
Yeah, he was the leader.
He's not telling everyone what to do. He's just telling a very specific subset of society exactly what to do and where to put your money.
A group that isn't a church, but claims church status. Yeah. We're not saying who, because we don't want to get fucking followed.
Needs to be an actor that was like... kind of really popular or had some really good roles but have sort of faded a little bit.
Yeah.
I reckon.
Yeah. Who we go
Nicolas
for?
Cage?
What's my question? I don't know.
He's come back, bro. He's come back.
Christian Slater and Nicolas Cage.
Oh, Christian Slater was never...
Brad Pitt? I haven't gone for what you've said. I've gone for like a fringe actor. Like you might even not call him an actor, but he's definitely been an actor in films. Probably more famous for other things, but Russell Brand.
Wow. Yeah. No, that makes
like,
sense. Yeah.
He would 100% be the fucking head of the Film Actors Guild
and tell
everyone exactly how to fucking live their lives.
That's a fucking valid point. That's really all he does now.
That's all he does. That's all he does.
Yeah.
Like, you know what? You're fucked up. You should do it like this.
Yes, that's a good point.
He's been Me Too though, eh?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's gone. He's done. Yeah.
I reckon Jared Butler. No one said a crack at him, and I reckon just have him and he just put a whole bunch of marbles in his mouth. He's like,
the Sean Connery style of Scottish talking.
Funny, because
he is Scottish.
He was going to be like the next big thing, but he just couldn't master that American accent, eh?
He couldn't. No, he couldn't.
So it was like just Angel Has Fallen sequel. Four times. So my final question, what film needs to be made with marionettes / puppets?
I went with Free Willy.
Oh, that'd be good.
Is Willy a marionette?
Yeah, Willy's the marionette.
Oh, cool.
Everyone else is real.
Oh, how cool would that jump be?
Exactly what I pictured.
That'd be amazing.
Like, whale scene of it. Like...
And the little boy's like this, that he's like, arms above his head.
Imagine how fucking problematic it would be to fucking marionette something in water
and then out of the water.
Then out of the water. That would be fucking
I mean, it was kind of like that in this movie when they all crash into the sea. They like just they just kind of bob around on the surface.
All the dead people floating on the top. Oh, good.
What do you got? You got the same answer as me, I can tell.
Oh, nah. I don't know. I went for a whole franchise. I went for Fast and the Furious.
Oh, thank God.
Honestly, that was an honorable mention. I thought about it.
I was like, family. Fuck, someone needs to just mock. They mock the shit out of themselves, but man, that needs to be taken to the next level.
Given the shit that those cars do in that fucking movie, it is like they're on fucking strings. It's fucking bullshit. I drew a bit of inspiration from this film. I was like, I really want to see a 50 Shades of Grey film with marionettes.
Can I tell you a story?
No, you can't. Next question.
On our honeymoon, we went to Bali and we got 50 Shades of Grey and it was a censored version, so it only went for like 37 minutes. I was like, what the fuck is this film about? Everyone's talking shit about this film. There's not a single...
Is that actually true?
Yeah, it's a true story. Awesome. That might have been a bit longer than 37 minutes, but we watched it.
Why would you bother releasing a movie where you've cut out like over 75% of the content?
Yeah.
I'm just waiting for.
Wait, when did that guy die?
It's so weird.
I'm trying to figure out what your thought process was watching this on your honeymoon.
Yeah.
And then when you watched the 37 minutes of you, kind of went, oh.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking as well. I'm just imagining. I'm waiting for him to go.
Married life, I guess.
Not a good start.
Sounds good.
Yeah. I'm just imagining him. His next story is going to be. So I'm sitting there at midnight going, how am I supposed to jack off to this? I still did. But
just people with
it was tough.
Talking.
Took me way longer than the usual 20 seconds.
All the suspense for what, hey? Nothing happens.
Fuck, there's two more of these.
I haven't seen the other two. I haven't seen the first one.
You could have watched the whole franchise in an hour and a half.
I still don't know what the fuck's it about. I think it's about some dangerous stuff, but nah, I wouldn't have a clue. Because I've never fucking seen it.
Anywho, that does move me over to me. Is this Matt Damon?
Matt Damon.
Is this Matt Damon? best performance. I wrote best, but I sort of mean iconic. Like, is this
his hell best? Yes. I mean, following up Fast and the Furious again, if anyone proved that you can make movies out of performances like this, it's Vin Diesel.
True.
Family.
I am Groot.
Yeah, exactly.
He's fucking clocking it twice.
Watch that money roll in.
Definitely. No, you got nothing else that was better than that. I had to actually look at like his whole log of movies.
Yeah.
And I came up with Happy Feet. He was Krill number 2.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Good point.
Probably his best movie. Invictus. Haven't seen it. But it's about rugby.
Yeah.
But it's about rugby and All Blacks won today. So
yeah. If anyone in this room has seen it, they can come outside for a knuckle sandwich. I'll give myself one because I've seen it.
Yeah. Was that bad or good?
No, it's fucking shameless.
I'm about to say we're about to go outside and beat each other off.
They missed the scene where they poisoned the All Blacks.
They did. Clint Eastwood got hit up about it. He was like, oh, I don't care for conspiracy theories. Crotchety old fucking man, get off my lawn.
Is Jesse Plemons Matt Damon's love child?
No, he's Meth Damon.
Meth Damon. His middle name's Paige. Matt Damon.
Really? Matt Paige Damon.
Is it P-A-I-G-E?
Yeah.
Is that a name like Lindsay? Is that a name like Kelly or something?
What? The fuck? Matthew Page
name. You mean one of those like unisex names? Yeah. So it usually goes one way but can go the other way?
I don't think I've ever heard
of
Page.
And if you're cool enough, you can pull it off.
Yeah.
Which he's not.
Hi, I'm Kelly. Ooh.
Is this mum's
last Kelly
name?
Slater, you're pretty fucking cool.
Yeah, Kelly Slater pulls it off. Right?
Yeah, Kelly Slater is the fucking man. He can pull it off. Stacey Jones.
Stacey Jones. You've got to be the fucking master of your...
But Mr... grew up in South Boston. I'm real fucking tough. What's your middle name, Paige?
I reckon the whole Matt Damon thing has given him a second lease, and I think he's just like embraced it with all that satire and the stuff he does with Jimmy Kimmel.
On yeah, show. Yeah, he's got like a bit of self awareness that he's
like,
he is a massive
I'm a fuckwit. Yeah. Oh, good. I'm gonna make this my defining career moment. Not Good Will Hunting, because everyone takes the piss out of that as well.
Yeah. My second question is, what would you do? Would you give up all your dreams for freedom? But I'm going to axe that. I'm going to change that to fate of the world's at stake. The guy, there's a guy that can help you or can enable you to save the world, but you've got to go down on him. Would you do it?
That was a really big swallow there, Kahu. Wait, was that your answer?
The fate of the world is at stake, Kahu.
The fate of the world beat at stake.
Fate
you've
of the
saved
world.
Us already.
Kahu's response wasn't even a word. It was
just a gulp.
Well, I think I think I answered the question, and that words can't express my feelings. So,
no, that doesn't explain.
Commit.
Sure, why not?
You're a good man. You're good
for the world?
You've got to save the world. You're saving the world.
Look, if you answer no, you're the biggest homophobe ever. Like,
or you just hate the world.
I've been interested in what my dick tastes like for ages, but there's always been like about a 30 centimeter gap between me, like literally finding out. Like, I can dab it with my finger and then lick my finger, but it's not the same. So...
can I go back to my original question? I'm going back to my original question.
So, like, to be able to do it, scratch that itch, and justify it by saving the world, fuck yeah.
Are you negotiating? Are you doing just the tips, or are we talking?
You know, giving a blowy as a guy, yeah. You know exactly how much gagging and sucking and blowing. You know, you know how to do it. Like,
I reckon
you know, it
I'd
feels
be better
good.
Than girls.
100%. Dude.
I've never done it, but I'm pretty sure I'd be expert.
Like, if there was a glory hole, I'd rather get you in that glory hole than, like, most women.
I'm all over it. I know exactly what's good.
It was just a yes or no answer. But
yeah, you guys have put a lot of thought into that.
Sorry, yeah.
Yeah, I reckon the devil's in the detail, eh?
Should we do it?
Just in case.
I love how it's like, yes, I'll do it to save the world. No, I'm going to shy away from that. I actually want to know what dick tastes like.
Okay, the next thing, we'll get a bit of preemptive stuff in there.
What about my original question? What would you do? Would you give up all your dreams for freedom?
it's kind of counteractive statement. Like, if you give up all your dreams, most of them probably involve a bit of freedom.
Yes, correct. Yep.
Yeah.
So if you take, if you say no, you've got no freedom. Well, you probably can't do your dreams either.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. What if your dreams are so limited that they involve very little freedom?
Yeah. I don't want to be.
So you're into bondage. That's your like. I think we've all given up our dreams. It wasn't for freedom. It was for children.
Yeah. There's a party in New Zealand called the McGillicuddy Party. It's a
It's gone.
It's gone.
Yeah, they're gone.
Oh,
they're not
around
anymore.
I love them though. They ban roads.
Ban roads. But they wanted a bridge between the North Island and the South Island.
Yeah. That's freedom. No one votes for those cunts.
That's true. Final question. So the Team America group are based inside Mount Rushmore. If there was a Team New Zealand. And we're not talking about the sailing team, but
that's what I thought. I was like,
yeah.
But there is
the
a team.
Auckland Viaduct.
Yeah. Auckland Viaduct. Yeah, that's a good answer. But what iconic New Zealand landmark would Team New Zealand be based in?
I want to go last on this one.
Okay. We're pretty small place. We're pretty limited for landmarks. For some reason, I straight away went to like the brown trout at Gore. Just its like mouth opening up, like all these rockets coming out of it. I don't know.
I think we've all gone inside a few trouts in our time, haven't we?
Yeah. The Ohakuni carrot.
Yeah, exactly. I went for one of New Zealand's most iconic landmarks, Rotorua, New Zealand's asshole. It's a bubbling pile of shit.
Straight out of Macoya,
yeah. Yeah, it smells. I don't understand. Everyone goes there and it stinks.
That's a good point. We managed to take the stinkiest place in our entire country and turn it into a tourist location.
Yeah, like, come here, it's shit.
No, other countries got the same. Like, the US has got New York.
True, that place is a shithole.
The fucking stinks.
Yeah.
I mean, I thought there were some good options here.
You went Sky Tower, right?
You went Sky... Exactly! Well, I
thought Sky Tower.
Sky Tower was the most obvious answer.
The giant hypodermic fucking heroin needle.
Line them all up. Or the beehive, you know, right in the center.
Yeah.
But actually, I went with probably New Zealand's most iconic natural landmark, Mita Peak in Milford Sound. It's like this iconic peak.
And there's three blank faces like, oh yeah, that's iconic.
It's like when you see pictures of Milford Sound, it's like the classic.
Oh yeah,
this is
just like pop its top off and they'll launch out of there.
This is an advertisement for Kahu's tramping.
Yeah.
No, Kahu actually knows where the best places in New Zealand are, not Sam or Dory or Machu.
and let's pause for a second because
see me on tour next month.
Let's just pause for a second there because no one else in the world calls hiking tramping. So people right now are going, what the fuck is tramping?
Kahu loves tramping.
Kahu loves tramping.
Every summer I'm out there.
He tramps for 3 weeks.
It takes all these people tramping.
I think like you went logical on there because, you know, it would be, you need something significant. Like Mount Rushmore is quite a large sort of a large landmark.
Pretty large, yeah.
And we don't have anything on that scale, so I sort of went the natural geography as well. I thought maybe the hole in the rock, the Bay of Islands, thing.
Yeah. Mm. That would be cool, like an underwater base. What's that other Thunderbirds like show that there was?
Thunderbirds?
Underwater base.
What are those Thunderbirds, isn't it?
No, yeah, I think you're talking about Thunderbirds.
It was like,
I've got it, Paw Patrol.
It was like Thunderbirds, but they had an underwater base.
Married with Children?
Stingray.
Yes. That's it.
Wow. Oh, yeah, nice. Nailed it.
Yeah.
What is it with New Zealand iconic places and shit names? Hole in the Rock, North Island, South Island.
Yeah.
Big Mountain. Like, fuck. We're so shit at naming stuff. Got zero imagination.
Do you know what the hill that's called locally here? The Mount.
The Mount. Yeah. Or One Tree Hill.
Yeah. Had more than one tree on it.
Could be mobile. It could have like this massive launcher come out of it, a la Samurai Pizza Cats. Yeah. And just like everything shoots out of it.
No. We're forgetting the best one. 90 Mile Beach. 60 miles long.
Yeah.
No one had a tape measure back then.
Yeah.
That's about 90 miles.
Yeah. Hey, Mitchell, you're still counting, right?
Like, yeah.
One plus one equals whatever you want.
I'm pretty sure I read somewhere that Australia had an 80-mile beach, and we were like, oh, fuck you, clowns.
Yeah,
ours is 90. I only walked it 1.5 times. It's definitely 90.
Oh, they said it was bigger than it actually is. Pancake Rocks.
Yeah, Pancake Rocks.
Yeah.
The Moraki Boulders. Boulders.
Oh, most overrated tourist attraction in New Zealand. This is coming from somebody who studied geology too. What a letdown.
It's rocks on a beach.
And then we've got these lakes here. One's called the Blue Lake. The other one's called the Green Lake. And guess what? One's blue, tell one's me. Green.
Fuck, we're shit. We've got these islands that are kind of barriers in the Hauraki Gulf. One of them's called Great Barrier. The other one's called Little Barrier.
Yeah, Little Barrier is the smaller one, wouldn't you know?
Yeah, amazing, isn't it? Holy shit. Go New Zealand. Okay, Dory, your questions.
Okay, question number one.
It's actually question number 17.
Oh, question number 17.
Top quality podcasting.
We'll start it again.
Marker.
What's your compliment, Sandbridge?
Okay, question number 17. My first question. Only if you promise you will never die. Is a great quote from this film. What's the worst promise that you've ever made? Like the most deceitful? Doesn't necessarily have to be to obtain sex, but I feel like that's going to be a theme.
You've got worst lie here, and I've definitely got a lie.
Yeah, well, worst lie.
Okay,
worst lie.
Worst lie. I don't know about lie about sex. I was going to bring up, but I did get, I did crash my mum's boyfriend's truck one night.
He left on purpose.
They left the car keys. Yeah. I was like, fuck this castle. So I grabbed this, like, had this combi. Fucking, it was a combi van and it was embarrassing. And then my friends come over, they're like, haha, he's got a fucking combi van. I was like, fuck it, let's go. We'll take his van out. We'll have a party in it and shit. So we went everywhere, got drunk. And I was drunk driving and then crashed it into our letterbox on the way home. And when I got home by myself, I went to bed and in the morning, my mum come in the room and she says, hey, did you take that car out for a joyride? There's all this alcohol in it and it's crashed. And it had the keys in my hand. She goes, tell me the truth. Did you crash it? And I went, no. Because we're going to get the police involved because someone's stolen it and I was going to hide the keys. I don't know. I've got no idea.
Did you get away with it?
No. It's easily the worst lie. Got the keys in my hand, drunk. It didn't take a genius to figure that one out.
Yeah. I like how you invented a new term there, a castle. That was awesome.
Castle.
My lie, it was kind of deceitful. I went, when me and Stacey went down to her sister's wedding, I spent the entire time saying to Stacey about
fucking
how
her sister. And I still haven't told her.
Oh, yeah, it's pretty awkward.
Haven't you heard the story yet? Tell it, Sam. It's real good, everybody. Oh, he's not going to tell it. Ratchet.
No, so I went down there and I was actually like,
she went all the way down.
I'm not going to.
For so long.
I can neither confirm nor deny. This is Bill Clinton. I did not have sexual relations with that woman. But no, we went down to the wedding and I was already ready to propose to Stacey. Like I'd got ring, everything like that, but I wanted to talk to Stacey's dad before I got down there. And like for me and my fucking warped and twisted fucking brain, I was like, I want to throw Stacey off the scent. So the whole time we were there, we're like, oh, fuck, weddings are stupid. Oh, I reckon this is a waste of money. We should never get married. That's just a stupid idea. And Stacey was like, oh, I'd like it if we have kids that we will have the same name. I was like, nah. Let's do something different. Let's just like, we'll be together forever and I'll love you. And you can just respect that and know that I'm always doing all this other shit. Saying all this, by the time we came back from that trip, Stacey was like, I don't know if I should be with this guy, to be honest. She was like,
you really threw her off the scene.
Yeah, I really so far threw her off the scene. And so much so that, you know, at the wedding, I asked her old man, said, hey, is it cool for marrying and all this other stuff? And they were all like real supportive. And then when we got back, I like walked her up the mount and proposed to her at the top of the mount. She was like so fucking blown away. But I reckon if I hadn't proposed that day, we would be fucking talking right now. I wouldn't even be paying child support. Never would have got married. She was at the verge of like, what the fuck?
I have a story and I'm going to keep the details pretty vague. So I was staying at this accommodation one time and like with a bunch of people. And you know how you've had like a real big meal the night before.
Jesus Christ.
It's a poo one.
It's a poo story.
It's a poo.
Here comes a poo story.
It's a poo done it.
It's a poo done it.
And so like got to mid-morning the next morning and, you know, the tummy's starting to grumble. You're like, oh, shit. And so you get to the toilet and, oh, man, like, laid down the biggest one I'd ever seen. You know, you
always, did it touch both sides? Did you take a photo?
You always know.
Did it hit the water before it broke off? Did you get propelled up in the air?
Yes.
You try to see, stand on the seat so you can see how much you can drop it.
You always know it's a good one when it's like when you've finished and it's still there's a portion of it above the waterline.
Yeah.
And you sort of you turn around and you look back at it with like kind of a sense of pride.
Yeah.
And I was
were
like,
there smartphones at the stage?
No.
Would you have considered taking a photo?
Possibly. Like, that was pretty impressive. And anyway, and this has only really happened to me maybe like two or three times. You know, you clean yourself up, and then you flush the toilet.
No. What?
She
didn't go.
And you wait, and like everything clears. And it's still there.
Oh, yeah.
And you're like,
double flusher.
Oh, no. What do you do there? And because then you're a bit stuck, eh? Because you have to wait for the cistern to fill back up.
Yeah.
And so you're waiting there. And it's like, oh, yeah, I'll try this again. Still no dice. And you're like, okay, I'm just going to like quickly get out of here before anybody notices. So I went away. And then somebody else staying there needed to go to the toilet right after. And so they went right after. And came out and like still nothing going on, and so I thought, oh yeah, I've got an opportunity here. So I went back in to do a piss, you know, like sometimes how you have to do that.
And you did that. Oh,
and I came out and I went, oh,
and you blamed
somebody's
on
left a big one. Blamed on the other guy.
What an asshole!
Yes,
Joe.
Yes,
I'm not proud of it, but I kind of am.
There's a question coming up over you, a dick, a pussy, or an arsehole. And I think we've found out. Kaho is an undercover arsehole.
Oh, it's one of those ones where you just get trapped in a corner and you like panic and you make the wrong decision, but you kind of like secretly pretty chuffed with yourself.
Pulled that off. Who fucking Poudini?
This type of thing never happens to me, but I pulled it off.
Have you done one of those ones where you like, you drop your guts and then your missus walks over to your baby and starts trying to change his nappy, thinking he's done a shit? You're like, fuck, I don't know what that was.
After you change like, that one, shit. Can you change my one?
My next question number 18. Of all the options, what would be the reason or theme that this film would get cancelled if it was produced in 2023?
The way to start, right?
Weinstein,
all of them.
Yeah. I don't know. I reckon they'd get away with anything. I don't think they would get cancelled. That's my
honest. Of course,
honest.
I'd get cancelled. If you look at like the original reviews of this, like critics are actually like horrified by the movie.
Yeah.
Like if you look at actually any critic reviewing this movie, it's got like half a star, one star. Yeah. Like for us, we're all like, cult classic, like best movie ever. Like, what? It only grossed $50 million. What the fuck?
Yeah. Everybody slept on this movie.
Yeah,
it's got all the tropes, eh? All the bad tropes.
Yeah.
My one for me is like when he swaps races. I was like,
blackface, maybe.
Yeah. Or brownface, whatever you want to call it. But like the, I mean, even like from the start, like everyone's got AIDS. I was like, oh, this is.
What about the language when you trade, you know, the joke?
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, it leads into very racist fucking stereotypes, broad brushes or whatever, but yeah.
The Film Actors Guild, an acronym. That was terrible at the time. Like, that hasn't got better.
Yeah, fair enough.
Question number 19. It's brief, it's easy. Are you a dick, a pussy, or an asshole?
I'm pretty sure I'm a dick. Pretty sure I'm a dick.
Nah.
You know, you're a fucking pussy.
You're definitely
an asshole. You're an asshole.
Yeah, you know shit. No. I was kind of you, like, you know, I was thinking maybe I'm a dick, but then I'm probably actually an asshole. So then my answer is Gooch.
Gooch.
I've gone for the bit of skin between the dick and asshole. That's me.
Side note, is this the actual, like, the most actual, like, moral fabric this movie's got. Like, it's actually kind of good advice. Like, it's hilarious, but it's kind of like, you know, it's relatable.
It's insanely accurate, right?
Yeah.
It's a broad brush, like, group people in three different groups, right?
Some of these things are just absolute trash, but this is like, it is actually like, you sort of do have three substrates of people and...
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, the monologue that drunk guy did in the pub, just like leading up to the... To when he vomits in the back alley, it was just like, it just
it was amazing.
Gold.
Yeah. Dicks also fuck assholes.
So good. Go on.
I feel like you guys are just going to call me a pussy.
A pussy.
I have got written down here, three assholes and a pussy is a weird fucking animal. Yeah. What animal has three assholes and a pussy?
Because pussies hate dicks. I don't know. Who do you hate?
Because pussies get fucked by dicks.
Yeah. I mean, I reckon you're probably mostly right most of the time, but... Mostly. If I get pushed too far, I turn into a bit of an asshole.
Fair enough.
All of them.
We want to be assholes.
So you get so full of shit that you turn into an asshole? Is that what I'm hearing? Cool. And that takes us down to our final question, which is a Patreon question. Thank you, everyone, for listening this far if you have. this is our wonderful friend, Emily Higgins of the Tasteless Podcast. Tasteless Podcast is a podcast that takes two films that are tangentially related, and she argues why the one that everyone loves is shit and why the shit one everyone should love. Awesome podcast. We love her, and she'll be in an upcoming episode with Liz and our good friend Ashley of Rabbit Ears. They're going to be talking about Bring It On, which I'm very disappointed not to be on that episode. Oh, Emily's question this week, what movie would you pair with this as a double feature?
Rush Hour.
Ooh.
Wow.
That block was already messed up. It was so good when they just destroy the Eiffel Tower and
Arc de Triomphe.
True, yeah.
It's good. I like it.
And just every time they like they enter an area, they're just like destroying people's small businesses and houses and stuff.
I took the easy layup here. I went with Pearl Harbor.
Oh.
Yeah.
It's good.
Yeah, you'd watch it first, and then you'd watch this and laugh about how shit Pearl Harbor was.
I think you might have missed the mark, but not as much as Michael Bay missed the mark when he made the movie Pearl Harbor.
Well, actually, we're with another Michael Bay film, Armageddon.
Ooh.
America, fuck yeah.
Yeah, that's a good one.
It's kind of like the serious Team America in a lot of ways.
It was either that or Independence Day. Those two, I was like...
Oh, Independence Day is good.
But
yeah.
I thought, that was revolting, buddy, in Armageddon.
I went with a Trey Parker double-header.
Liv Tyler's in both of them, too.
Liv Tyler, yes! That's a good point. That's an awesome point. I went with another Trey Parker and Matt Stone film. I went with Basketball.
Oh, Basketball.
Mm. Most people know Basketball, but my other option was Orgasmo, the film that they made when they were at university, or college, as they call it over there, which not a lot of people have seen, but you've seen it, eh?
Yeah.
It's like a Mormon.
Smell this. Now get the fuck out of here.
There's a movie that wouldn't get made today, right? Like Trey Parker plays a Mormon that goes door to door and then ends up filming pornos because he needs money, but he doesn't actually film the scenes. He gets stunt dick in.
Yeah.
And then sometimes the stunt dick is a completely different race.
His best mate is Chota Boy.
Chota Boy. And he becomes a pornographic superhero. It's like a superhero movie.
Sex scene with that Tyrannosaurus girl.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
That's hilarious.
Do you remember G-Fresh? This movie would never get made today, but anyway, that is mine. And that takes us down to the end. Thank you, everybody, for listening to this podcast. Upcoming episode, as I mentioned, there will be an episode on Bring It On. There's a couple of other episodes which are in the works, but I don't want to reveal them just yet. If you want to get a hold of us, you can find us on Twitter/X/whatever it's called this week at Movie Reviews In, alternatively on Instagram and Facebook at Movie Reviews In 20Qs, or send us an email at miritqs@gmail.com. Anywho, that's thanks from me.
Terrorize this. See ya.
Bye.
Cheers.
Now suck my dick.